We do welcome you to this morning's service from Stoke Green Baptist Church, whether you're regular with us or whether you're just dropping in on us on this YouTube channel. I'm grateful to George Baker, who's been putting this video together for us, and also for his mum, Di, who's going to lead us into our worship this morning. I'm going to be on annual leave from Thursday until the following Thursday. I don't know where I'm going to go, but I am due that time off. That said, I will be producing messages for next Sunday and for Good Friday and the following Sunday. So I hope that you might be able to join us again for all of that. Let's just pray together as we come together this morning. Father God, we admit before you that things are difficult for us. We thank you that we can trust in you. Lord, we find it hard that we're not able to meet together and enjoy that fellowship that we usually enjoy with one another. But Father, I just pray that even as we spend this time together this morning, or whether we listen to this recording later, Father, that you will bless us for looking into your word. Pray that it will be an encouragement to us to keep going in these difficult days. And Lord, it will help us to focus on Jesus as we move now towards Easter and see the importance of that event for all of our lives. Lord, we pray for those who are going through particularly difficult days just now, who may be facing unemployment or are serving on the front line with our services in hospitals, in care homes, wherever it may be. Lord, just protect your people, we pray. And Lord, we just ask that you will speak to our hearts now as Di leads us in worship and as we come later to your word. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Hand over to Di now to lead our worship time. Thanks, Di.
Thank you. sung that we've got 10,000 reasons to bless your holy name. And Lord, we do thank you that there is always something to say thank you for. Thank you that even now, when we're sat in our separate homes, we can still be together in you, worshipping today. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you are with us. And as we look to gather round your word today, wherever we are, across Ipswich, across our county, across our land, across our world, Lord, we ask that you would be with each one of us today, just as we need. And Lord, may we prepare ourselves now to hear what you want to say to us today. And we sing now, fall, Holy Spirit, fall. Fall upon this heart. I'm open to you now.
Oh,
Our reading this morning comes from Mark's Gospel and chapter 14 and verse 32 to 42. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if it was possible, the hour might pass for him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Once more he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he found again them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping? Enough, the hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let's go. Here comes my betrayer." Stay at home. Support the NHS. Save lives. There has been a battle for hearts and minds this week. I wonder, are we obeying or are we defying the message that we have been given? Now, we're just 2 weeks away from Easter, but it certainly doesn't feel like it, does it? Possibly nothing is further from our thoughts just now. So is it irrelevant to our situation? Well, I believe not. If we're going to get our lives in some kind of perspective in these days of global anxiety, we need to ask, where does true security lie? Where can it be found? And in that context, I believe nothing can be more important than to consider the events surrounding the death of Jesus, his resurrection, and the resurrection hope that he can give to any one of us. It was here in the Garden of Gethsemane that Jesus grappled with his own orders, his own instructions, and also with the immensity of the events that were about to unfold. Such was the agony of heart that he was facing that Luke, a doctor, records in his gospel that it caused a very rare phenomenon. Jesus sweat drops of blood. This condition, hematidrosis, is one in which the capillary blood vessels that feed the sweat glands break down and rupture. And this only occurs very rarely in people under extreme levels of stress. Leonardo da Vinci described a soldier who sweat blood before going into battle. And perhaps that's how we should view Gethsemane. Jesus preparing to go into battle with Satan, with sin on our behalf. Well, let's look at a little more detail here. Firstly, the setting of the garden itself. Somewhere near the base of the Mount of Olives, east of Jerusalem, across the Kidron Valley, was a garden called Gethsemane. It would seem likely that a follower of Jesus owned the garden and allowed Jesus and his disciples to go there to pray. It was a kind of retreat place, I suppose. Jerusalem was a very crowded place, particularly during the feasts like the one that was taking place at this time. It was in this garden that Judas would come to point out Jesus, to betray Jesus, to have him arrested. And so it's not a surprise that Judas knows where it is, because most likely this was a place that Jesus often went to with his disciples. But that betrayal is next week's message. The actual word Gethsemane means oil press, a significant name in the light of the agonies of heart that Jesus would go through in that place. And ultimately, of course, the very life of Jesus would be squeezed out, so that his goodness, his righteousness, his perfection could be applied, could be offered to sinners like us. So the setting in the garden itself. Secondly, for a moment, I want us to consider the disciples who went with Jesus. All 11 disciples went with Jesus to the garden, other than Judas, of course. It was probably now the late hours of Thursday, or even the early hours of Good Friday morning, the day that Jesus would die. They'd spent the earlier part of the Thursday evening together at the Last Supper in the upper room. They now travelled perhaps a mile or so outside the city, across the valley, to the garden. And it must have been a fairly large garden, as Jesus left 8 of them in one part of the garden, while he went further in with that inner circle of 3, James, John, and Peter. All he wanted the disciples to do was to watch and to pray. And surely that's what any of us would want in a time of crisis. Those who are prepared to stand by, to watch and to pray. That's what our healthcare workers need from us just now. However, whilst wanting their support nearby, Jesus ultimately knew that the real battle, the real agony of heart, was his to face alone. He goes a little further and tells them, the 3, to keep watch. But sadly, all these disciples who had promised to be faithful proved unreliable. They fell asleep. Jesus later expresses his surprise that they couldn't even stay awake an hour for him. I wonder, are we such fair weather friends? When it comes to the crunch, will we be found faithful? Are we there for others in their darkest hour of need? How much are we praying into our current situation? Nothing could be more vital. Yes, our government are doing their best. Our scientists are looking into means to stop this virus. Our doctors, nurses, care workers, ambulance men are all striving against it. But ultimately, this virus is under God's control, and they are all under his care. So it is our duty to pray. We've seen the garden, we've looked at the disciples for the rest of our time, I want to just focus in on the prayer of Jesus itself. His prayer in Aramaic was to Abba, Father, Daddy, if you like. It demonstrated his really close relationship with God the Father. Daddy, I'm speaking to you. The subject of his prayer was what he was facing. He knew that this was very near in terms of Judas coming to betray him, of his crucifixion. And to be honest, Jesus was humanly struggling with what he was going to go through. I don't think it was so much, actually, the physical suffering that he was going to endure, though that was awful. Many martyrs down the years have triumphed in their death. No, I actually think Jesus was struggling with being made sin and the fact that he would for a time be, as it were, abandoned by his Father. Indeed, he would later cry from the cross, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" Now, God the Father allowed this sacrifice. He allowed Jesus to be offered for our sin, for sin not his own. Jesus was the spotless Lamb of God that needed to be offered for our cleansing. It's amazing how many common sayings in the English language find their roots in the Bible. There's one there in verse 38. It says, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak," speaking of the disciples' inability to stay awake. We might use that, for example, of me trying to play football now. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But there's another saying here that I particularly want to pick up on. We say of someone facing hard times, they have a lot to swallow, or that's a bit hard to swallow. And Jesus says here to his Father, "Take this cup from me." In other words, what I'm facing, Father, is hard to swallow. Jesus knew without a shadow of a doubt that he would be raised from the dead. He taught his disciples this many times. But his agony was in being made sin. He called that experience drinking the cup. Throughout the Bible, a cup is used figuratively to describe blessings or disasters. A cup of blessing, a cup of judgment. I've got time to read all of those now. You might want to pause the video and look at Psalm 75, verse 4, Isaiah 15, verse 17, and Jeremiah 25, verse 15 to 16. These are just a few examples. It's not surprising that Jesus therefore refers to what he is about to suffer as a cup. Jesus would have to drink that cup and bear the curse of God's judgment. God's law requires obedience. But as men and women, we are corrupt and sinful. We deserve God's wrath and judgment. God cannot just ignore our sin and still be true to his holy character. Jesus was the only man who ever lived without sinning. And by him agreeing to drink this cup, it meant that he was going to take the punishment of our sin upon himself on the cross. It's not surprising his holy character was repulsed at being made sin for us. Yet he knew that this was his mission. He knew that this was what he had to swallow if he was to fulfill his purpose, his destiny, to be our saviour. Surely we can understand why he found it so hard. if there was another way. He was asking the Father to find it. Perhaps some of us are feeling like that about our enforced isolation. If only there was another way. And yet here we come to the most remarkable words of all in verse 36. Yet not what I will, but what you will, Father. Father, we'll do it your way, because you know best. There's no response from the Father. There's no, it's okay, son, you don't have to go through with it. Because the Father knows that this, in Jesus, is mankind's only hope. Now, in conclusion this morning, I want us just to contemplate two gardens, the two most important gardens of the Bible. In the first garden are Adam and Eve, who are tempted by the serpent, Satan himself, to take of the fruit. The fruit that they have been expressly forbidden by God to take. And when they take of that fruit, it's like they're saying to God, not your will, but ours be done. And ever since, we as sinful people have effectively been saying to God on numerous occasions, not your will, but mine be done. We live selfishly. We fulfill our own natural desires. And actually, that leads us into sin, and we all deserve the cup of God's judgment. Perhaps these days that we're going through are being allowed by God to, as a wake-up call for us to take seriously the sin in our lives. To think about what is really important. Now, in the second garden in Gethsemane, there is victory. Some have called this event the last temptation of Christ. But in spite of how humanly, naturally he feels, nonetheless, Jesus says the exact opposite. Not my will, but yours be done. He stands his ground. He's obedient to his call. The betrayal, the arrest, the crucifixion soon follow on. It was here in the garden that the battle of heart and mind was won by Jesus on our behalf. We each have the challenge just now of submitting to authority. Some have a personal sacrifice to make. Some may be serving on the front line in medical care or helping out someone in the community in their need. For some, because of health or older age, the battle actually might be with obedience to stay in. For the sake of their health, for the sake of others. But remember this, our challenge to obedience just now is nothing compared to the one that Jesus faced for us in the Garden of Gethsemane. Thank you, Lord, that you were willing to go through with drinking this cup of judgment for every one of us, and that if we believe and trust in you, we can know the joy of our sins forgiven and the hope of an eternity spent with you. Amen. God bless you this Sunday morning.
Before we close our service this morning, I would just like to take the opportunity to make a couple more thank yous. Ian at the beginning thanked George for all of his work this week, but I'd also like to thank Millie for her additional help with the vocals. But I'd like to extend an enormous thank you to Steve, as I'm sure you would too, for with the wonder that is technology today, he has been able to record his keyboards and send them over to us, and we've been able to add the vocals so that the songs have come together. And I do thank him for all of the hours that he's spent this week. I hope you found the music a helpful addition to the service today. And as Ian has been talking about sacrifice, a sacrifice that we may already be making ourselves, the sacrifice that we may have to make in the future, we ultimately remember that sacrifice that our Lord and Saviour made. But because he made that sacrifice, we can live in hope today. I will trust in you alone, for your endless mercy follows me. Your goodness will lead me home. God bless you all this week.